Thank you. As you sing about the dawning of a new day. As you worship the Lord, we can feel it all over us now. Seven steps he showed us.
Shall we bow our heads, close our eyes, be looking in prayer tonight? Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate being in your presence tonight, Father. Lord, we thank you for the blessed opportunity that you've given unto us one more time to enter your courts with praise and to come to your gates with thanksgiving, to come and lift up holy hands and praise the name of the Lamb. Lord, how thankful we are ever since that light shined forth and those seven seals were loose, and you show us our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you've given us this great hope that we have, steadfast and sure, an anchor of the soul. And Father, as we come Lord, we just want to tell you how we appreciate you. What you mean to us, Lord. What you have done for us. We could not do for ourselves, and no one else could have done for us. Remember our days of darkness. Lord, we saw where you took us from. We thank you for the grace that you have caused us to stand in this hour. How it makes our hearts burn with joy and love and thanksgiving on the inside. And even to come into your house with deeds of like precious faith, feel the sweet Holy Spirit come close. Truly you are the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. You're still the same, Lord. Same way you led those children of Israel by that pillar of fire. Lord, we feel as we encamp here tonight, that great pillar of fire is burning in our midst. Great, mighty presence sweeping around the souls of everyone gathering this cold, bleak night, Lord. Our thoughts are centered upon Thee, Father. Lord, looking unto You that You would speak to our hearts tonight. Those things needy and profitable for us, Lord. We might be made ready, Father, in this hour. There would not be one that would be unprepared or found lacking in any way. But we all be clothed with your word. Our souls robed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have that old time religion burning in our hearts. The faith of the Father is living still. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just commit ourselves and the service into your hands, asking that you would just come even closer and brood deep down in our souls and bring up, Lord, that perfect raptured faith. Faith that could change these vile old mad bodies. It would cause us to leap over a troop of death and jump over a wall of natural to supernatural. Oh God, may you grant it tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Father, our brother Reuben Gomes in our midst tonight. Lord, it just reminds me, Lord, of the request, Lord, that he had made mention to me a few days ago. Lord, his wife who have left and deserted a family, Lord, and have gone overseas, but during that time you have struck his heart with your word. You cause him to come to realize, Lord, that he belongs to you. Father, you recognize it was a move of the enemy to try to divide and destroy his home. Little children, Lord, need that care of the mother to raise them up, Lord. Lord God, he's believing that you are true to your promise. And if we would stand together and pray, unite in our faith, and send forth the word by the Holy Spirit, you'd go like a hound dog on a trail. Oh God, you'd find her where she is, Lord. You'd bring the conviction upon her heart. Lord God, you'd bring her to recognize what she has done. You'd cause her to turn around and come right back to the place where she belonged. For you are God and there is nothing impossible with you. And all things are possible to them that believe. So Father, tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, we are asking, Lord. We know what a home without a mother is like. It's not really a home, Lord. Lord, we know how the children become a prey for the enemy. When they see that mother standing there, Father, with her little ones, is an age where the enemy have broken down motherhood, try to destroy the Christian home. But Father, we know you said in your word, I will restore, saith the Lord. Amen. So may the agent, the Holy Spirit, the enforcer, enforce a rightful condition of restoration, we pray. grant these things, Father. We zero in this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ to that woman. May you bring such a conviction. May you turn her around and bring her back. And we seal this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Commit it in the hands of the great Holy Spirit now, that he will bring it to pass. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Now may you bless the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. May it cause us to be closer drawn to you and have faith in your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Romans. Just thought on a night like this, it's just good to maybe speak a little bit. So I'm just going to kind of preach. Just see how the Holy Spirit is going to leave back the tape for tonight. And just speak a little bit. If you just feel led to do that. We have some strangers in our midst also. We want to welcome them. Amen. Feel just comfortable. Just feel right inside by the grace of God. Romans 8, reading from verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are de-called according to his purpose. Could we say amen? Amen? Do you really know that all things work together for good? You really believe that from the depths of your heart tonight? You know that is the word of the living God? Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that's a word that shake Pentecostals. Denominational Pentecostals, that is. But real Holy Ghost filled Pentecostals know that that is the word of the living God. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. If you are decalled according to God's purpose, he had to foreknow you. He had to predestinate you. Because them he also called. Amen. And whom he called, them he also justified. That's a real strong word. That don't mean forgiven. That's a strong word. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's how it spells, and that's what it means. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I just love Paul, you know. He's a man after my own heart. And after he laid those strong words, ain't leave no room for reasoning. Ain't leave no room for man's imagination. Then in the form of a question, he says, well, what shall we say then to these things? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, my. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, to understand, as Brother Bram always says, you're reading a story, you just open the end of the book and it says, John and Mary live happily ever after. You wouldn't know what he's talking about, you got to go back and read the beginning. And you have to read the beginning of Romans 8 to know what he's talking about here, the end of Romans 8. For the beginning of Romans, they said there is now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And here he's ending up now. He's saying, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Elect, that is election. See, election, predestination, foreknowledge, called, strong words. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Shall God justify it? Who is he that condemn it? Because there's no condemnation. You see, that's what he's dealing with, condemnation. In the Greek, that means There's no basis on which you could be accused. No grounds for accusation. There's no evidence could be brought against you. But you know why? Because it's in the sea of forgetfulness. God and all forget it. Amen. You remember your iniquities no more. Who is he that can measure? Christ that died? Yeah, rather, that is risen again? Why does he say it that way? Because he rose for your justification. Christ rose again. Yeah, Christ rose again. Christ who rose again for your justification come back and condemn you, then he defeats his own purpose. Who is even at the right hand of God who ought to make an intercession for us? The one who is taking your place, standing in your stead tonight? My. And look how beautiful this goes on now. Then if that is so, if all things work together for good, if the people God formed you and predestined and no one can lay a charge against them, and Christ works for the justification, and if God be for us, who could be against us? He says, what then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? All what you're going through right now? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Have none to eat? Or nakedness? One suit of clothes? Hole in your shoe? Or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are conquered as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not we are conquerors. It don't say that. It doesn't say we are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death. He deals with the greatest enemy and the last enemy right there. I am persuaded that neither death. Nor life. No angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no height, no depth, no any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. You may have his seat. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ is the believer's life. And Christ is his righteousness. Amen. The ground of his peace with God is Christ. You have no peace with God unless it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you may lose the enjoyment of it, of your peace at times, but the thing itself God has established is upon an indestructible basis. Amen. And before it can ever be touched, the fact of Christ's resurrection must be called in question. If a man wants to remove your peace or interfere with the peace, then he have to destroy the fact that Jesus rose. Because Paul says in Romans 5, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 4 ended up with, he was raised for our justification. So your peace is not a new trying, you know, to maybe go and live somewhere in the country and, you know, where you can hear a radio or something like that, or, you know, go up in the hills up in Cerro Aripo somewhere up there, and, you know, you build a little shack somewhere way out in the woods. That's not the peace of God, no, sir. Because you go out there and you have fear in the night, fear bring torment. Amen. You go out there and you see some kind of strange thing happening out there, some kind of animal howling or something in the night. My, you could faint in your heart. But though 10,000 fall at your right side and 1,000 on the other side, it shall not come nigh thee. The hour that fly by day nor the pestilence by night. Amen. You go, why? You have peace to God. Amen. And who then could debate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Paul says, Christ rose according to my gospel. He proved that Jesus Christ rose. And he is here himself to prove his own word to every believing heart that he is alive forevermore. Amen. That he's here in our midst. So when we think of those things then, we know that the believer's peace is perfectly settled. Because if Jesus didn't really raise our justification, he could not be on the right hand of all authority. You know that? And that he could not raise if he really wasn't a perfect sacrifice. And he could not go into heaven because the high priest had to be perfect to go in there with blood. So you see what we're talking about? So the peace that have been given to you, it passes all understanding. The love passes all knowledge. Wonder if God loved me, wonder if God loved me. Yeah, I wonder if Jesus really died for me. I wonder if God really accept me. If God didn't accept you, then if God can't accept me, then accept Jesus. Because he took your place. Amen. And you know, people many a time, they get confused and they fail to have faith in the infallible word because they don't know how secure the work done on their behalf have made them. And they try to, that is why it is sin in the eyes of God to try to do it for yourself. That's why the biggest hindrance a believer has is trying to do it for yourself apart from the grace of Almighty God. That's why God could never accept it. Because if God had to accept you doing anything apart from the grace of God, then the grace of God is in vain. Then Jesus Christ, death was in vain. But the whole plan of redemption is based upon him. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world in the back part of the mind of God. Exactly right. Amen. And in order to have perfect peace, you must know your perfect justification. Otherwise, you can't have perfect peace. You're going to always get worried. You're going to always be unsettled. You're always going to be wondering. You're always going to be up and down. And then circumstances, if it looks negative towards you, you're always going to be confused. And you always maybe think God punishing you. Any little trial you go through, you say, oh, God punishing me. I do something wrong. See, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without revelation of what he has done for you, it's impossible to please God. Amen. That's why even Paul being the right Ephesians, he knocks away all idea of falling away for the believer. You were chosen Christ before the foundation of the world, predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, have redemption through his body, forgiveness of sins, according to riches of his grace. Obtain an inheritance in Christ, amen. All these things, brother, he make it so plain and so strong for the believer. You know, it make a believer feel ashamed of himself. When the Holy Spirit wave the word back, it make you feel ashamed of yourself, like you had to pull it out to God, like God don't want to give it to you. Like God don't love you because you know it looks like you're delaying to give you what you want. Or you have to go and do something too hard that you can hardly bear. And then we try to make God like God didn't love you and you feel a quarrel with God. And brother, that's your biggest insult that you could give to God. When you try to take your feeble carnal weevil mind and then try to question omniscience, an infinite God who is the very essence of love himself. Amen. Amen. Who made you in his own image. Amen. Who made you his offspring. Who gave you inheritance. Who made your armor to your God. Amen. And how else could you have perfect peace? You have to have perfect justification. You must know perfect justification. And to know perfect justification,
You must, by faith in God's word, know that the atonement was a perfect atonement. Because the whole, everything is hangs on the atonement. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He take away the first that he might establish the second. Hallelujah. The believer wants purge. Have no more conscience of sin. Amen. Need no more sacrifice. God perfected once and for all in that one perfect sacrifice. What is the Lamb that sang when the book was being opened? What is the Lamb? We are redeemed back as kings and priests. To think of it, at the end of the book, they were singing as they saw the great millennium age getting ready to be opened. And going back to restore Eden when the book was being taken at the end of his intercession. And you think that very Lamb, when it's been introduced to Israel, the Lamb of God, take over the city of the world, they say Beelzebub and this and that. But look at the end. Believers who had died, amen, and gone on and waiting under the altar, hallelujah, was looking for that day when he was going to come and usher in his kingdom. And when he left the Father's throne to take his own throne, hallelujah, when he took the book and began to reveal them names. But all they could say, we have been redeemed as kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Amen. Because it was complete. It was perfect. Yet Pharisees and Sadducees with the little old puny minds and the old carnal religious interpretations of the word of God was questioning the word that Elijah the prophet revealed. Hallelujah! Because Jesus was the word and the word came to the prophet. And the prophet that revealed that word was John. And John had the spirit of Elijah. Is that correct? Amen. And as John forerun the first coming, so shall you go forth the message to forerun the second coming. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll introduce the word again in a day just like that day when man trusted in organizations. The real word will come forth that can take away your unbelief and bring you to a perfect faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the believer is out of a perfect peace. Because why? There has been a perfect atonement. A perfect word has come forth. Israel under the natural lamb, which is a shadow of the word made flesh. But that natural lamb couldn't bring redemption because it wasn't the reality. It was a substitute until the real word comes. Because when the real word comes, see, Abel had a lamb, a he lamb, is that right? Moses had a he lamb, get under the blood of the lamb. Abraham said that God will provide a lamb for a sacrifice. And also the Bible is a lamb, speaking of the real lamb that was coming. And the real lamb that was coming was going to be the word. Why the word? Because they fell from the word. Hallelujah, they fell from the word. That kingdom was established by the word. And someone preached something that was not the word and caused them to fall from the word. And when that word came out, the perfect word, you just search the scriptures to testify of me. Amen. I am the one. Amen. Here he came. He proved that he was the law and the Psalms and the prophets. All these things spoke of him. He was the perfect interpretation of the word. He was the complete plan of redemption. Amen. He was the word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that word came, a perfect word, and man was holding on to a creed, a Sadducee creed and a Pharisee creed and a denominational creed. Amen. And they prefer to be a Sadducee and they prefer to be a Pharisee than to accept the word a prophet was revealing right then at all. Hallelujah! Because that prophet is blasting. He said, you whitened sepulchres full of dead men bones. You snakes in the grass who warned the flea from the rat to come. That prophet had a message sent for there to shake them systems and pull the people out. And let them recognize, this is the word. This is the lamb. Hell, he's come for redemption. Amen. And there's a little elected group, a Mary Magdalene, coming out of a brothel. Amen. Hallelujah. but a blind Bartimaeus coming up from the gate begging. A Zacchaeus coming up from the tree. Amen. Hallelujah. All elders coming out from the different places. Little simple ordinary people. And the great big scholars of the age who studied the law, who had all the titles and went to the seminaries and these things, was calling the word Beelzebub because it didn't come out of the system. But the word wasn't promised to come out of a system. The word was promised to come out of heaven. Hallelujah! And here came the word, and who is going to recognize it? The word always comes to a prophet. And God, who lays out his plan, he don't defeat his purpose. When God laid out, if he says the word come to a prophet, you're going to have a prophet there when the word comes. Amen. And John was baptizing at the river. Man never even see baptism yet. Prophet comes from strange thing and they ask, Jesus asked him, he says, John, baptism of man or from God? Oh my, but that is a shakes man and people. Because a lot of people can't take this baptism too. Amen. Hallelujah. But thank God a prophet could say, he says, show me the Bible where they're baptized different to this baptism. Hallelujah. Is this baptism from man or from God? Paul baptized that way. Peter baptized that way. Philip baptized that way. Hallelujah. He said, not even Jesus' name. That wrong to amen. Got many a man named Jesus. But this one made both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There ain't no man named Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm a father, I'm a son. I'm a minister tonight. Amen. But that ain't my name. My. Took a revelation. And Peter walked out there under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You think the baptism is wrong? People that get healed in the name? When that Peter, by what name and authority have you made this man whole? You say faith in the very name that you say wrong. Amen. Faith in the very name you all can't take. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You know that perfect peace? You must know your perfect justification. And any believer who can have perfect peace tonight, it's because they don't know the perfect justification. They say they believe Jesus rose, but it's not really revealed to them. Because they have not seen the Lord. When he's risen, every individual has to get a revelation of the risen, resurrected word. It was one thing before the resurrection, was another thing after the resurrection. Amen. When Mary Magdalene came and said, I have seen the Lord. They couldn't accept that. The disciples were idle tales. They said, we've seen you, the Lord dead, Gil. We see you take the body down from the cross. The whole thing finished. He was a prophet, mighty and wooden indeed. That's all the revelation that prophet, mighty and wooden indeed. Had no further revelation than that. See? No man can do these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus, Pharisee revelation. Amen. But Mary Magdalene, she saw the resurrection, the life. She saw the voice of, she heard the voice of the resurrection call her by her name. Mary, to Rabboni. Amen. The resurrected word after the angel come down this Sunday and pull the seal back. That word that was being revealed at that time. That Jesus. Hallelujah. That Jesus. Oh, glory. On the Sunday. Matthew 20 says, on the Sunday, the break of the Sunday. Amen. The Sunday, the first day of the week. Amen. The eighth day, the morrow after the Sabbath, when there's a way of the sheaf to show harvest time is here. You know, people, when you think that in the scripture, Jesus told a parable about harvest time, and all through the Bible is typed out about the harvest time. Harvest time was a type and mystery in the Bible. Because root coming at harvest time. The mighty Gentiles went and bring a clean first drink at harvest time. Amen. All to the Bible, Joshua crossed over in the Ephesians at harvest time. He brought them into the Canaan land, the land of the fathers, and divide the land for inheritance at harvest time. Harvest time is a great time. And when Jesus came himself, he spoke of the harvest time. In the Bible, look at Gideon, threshing wheat in the harvest time, when the three powers was coming together after the prophet had delivered the message and went over the scene. Sure. And Jesus told the parable, he said, the harvest time is the end of the age when the Son of Man will send the reapers in the field. He said, don't leave, let them grow until harvest time. Let the wheat and the tares grow until harvest time. You have two types of seeds in the field. One, the good sower sowed, the children of the kingdom. One, the evil sower sowed, who is Satan, children of the devil, the Bible says. Two seeds, let them grow until harvest time. God going to send reapers to reap the wheat and bundle the tares for the fire. When did the tear come at tear? At harvest time or when the seed was sown? Sure, right. It was always a tear. It was always children of the devil. It just grew right down until harvest time. From the sowing time to the reaping time. Amen. By the seed. See? It wasn't elected to be wheat. It was tears. Foreordained to condemnation, the Bible says. So who art thou that replies against God? Is he unrighteous with God? God forbid. In your own house, you have vessels of honor and dishonor. Oh, God. You greater than God? Amen. You are nice dinnerware you bring on your table, and then you have other utensils too, as for other things. Sure, in your own house. Amen. See? Then, we see then that you must have a real understanding, but you must have faith in God's word by revelation, that God made a perfect atonement. And if Jesus was a perfect atonement, then he could raise for your justification. Then he could ascend to the right hand of majesty. That only means power and authority. Amen. See? And when he went up there, then God, that's what God accepted. See, he was accepted as a propitiation for your sins. He became you, and you could become him. What he was is transferred upon you. What you was transferred upon him. Then what you want to take back that and bring it back on yourself for? If you really identify with him. Exactly right. See? And then Paul, in this book of Romans, is one of the greatest teachings in the entire Bible. Paul would say, you could see the Roman church was a real established church by the things that Paul was teaching here. Because not until 1965, the Holy Spirit began to teach about invisible union of the bride and perfect justification, all these things and things that ought to be, and the two sections of the book and all the names in the Lamb's book of life, who under no circumstance could be removed. That comes out of Romans. Many of those great things. Then bring it to the manifestation of the sons of God. Bring it to the redemption of the body. You see, Romans is not easy. It's not an easy book. Then Paul is teaching here foreknowledge and predestination. An election to the Romans. So he sure wasn't trying to tell them proof them God's and a prophet and his name was Elijah. See? He sure wasn't trying to tell them come out of Sadducees and come out of Pharisees. He was teaching the people who had already come out of that and establishing them now in their present truth. That they could enter in and receive what was rightfully theirs and made available to them through this vicarious suffering of Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, and show where they stand now in the economy of God and how they should walk with God in that new relationship as sons. When Jesus came, no more, it was like blasphemy to say he's the Son of God. Because the Jews had reverenced God for the great holy God, and they were just little subjects trying to worship God. And then he comes saying, Father, I know you hear me always. Brother, that blow their mind. They couldn't accept that. See, they couldn't accept a man making himself equal with God. They couldn't accept a man talking to God in that way. Papa God. Amen. Brother, they couldn't understand that at all. They want to keep a ritual and a tradition and observe certain holidays and religious days and kind of give themselves a little justification that, you know, that they are earthlings and they're serving God. But Jesus come to show that when God made man, when God made Adam, Adam was in his image. Adam was in his likeness. Adam was the son of God. Come from the loins of God. Where else could your son come from? And God loins his mind. Amen. Where all his thoughts are. Because his word is a seed. Is that correct? Sure, right. Where your seed is in your loins as a man. See, and God's seed is thoughts. Because word is only a thought expressed. Spoke it. But when he expressed them thoughts, and they become a word, then that word is spoken. So a spoken thought. Amen. Then it becomes a manifestation after.
Where did the trees come from? God spoke it. Where did the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars come from? God spoke it. Where it was before God spoke it? In God's thoughts. Amen. See? So God is expressing his thoughts, his thinking. And when he speaks, you know what was in his mind. And if he's the source of all intelligence, and he has a reason and a purpose for doing everything, whatever they do, it reveals something. That's why the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Amen. See? And the morning star come out in the morning, the darkest time. Why God make it like that? To reveal something. Because nature was God's first Bible. Sure, right? Whatever they do, it reveals something. That's why the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Amen. See? And the morning star come out in the morning, the darkest time. Why God make it like that? To reveal something. Because nature was God's first Bible. Sure, right? See? So now we can say, watchman, what of the night? The night cometh and also the morning. Morning cometh and also the night. See, the morning star is out there saying good morning, shalom, as we sing. Good morning, the breaking of a day, a new day. That morning star heralding the coming of the sun. Because God is going to have a time like that in his Bible. When it comes from, when the word comes in a written form, in paper to read in the more intellectual age, man can look and see what they can't understand up there. But it's already written there. You see, I was saying it one time, man could say this part inspired and this part here and mislocate this part and leave out this part and add in this part. But in the galaxy, who could go up there and move along the stars? Nobody. Nobody can interfere with that up there. You can't go and say this constellation wrong, this other place, this is supposed to be over here, and this constellation. You can't do it. And the heaven was the first Bible. Psalms 19 declares that. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his hand. Night unto night, unto speech, and day unto day, unto knowledge. Is that right? And its voice has gone to all the ends of the earth. Even Romans 1, it says, and the visible things come from the invisible. Amen. Even with God and eternal power, all these things is declared in the heavens. No wonder can say we have seen a star in the east. Where is he born, King of the Jews? We see a star, so we know the king is born on the earth. We know Messiah is here. Because all foretold here, Jacob said, Balaam said, a star will arise out of Jacob. He foretold God, mystery, and all these things laying right in the scripture. And look at Paul as he comes and he started teaching that in the beginning of Romans. Romans 1, he started teaching that. He come right up to Romans and begin to show how the whole world in sin and then God. All of sin comes out of the glory. Then God's provision that he have made. Then he begins to show us how the two natures in one body. See? When I want to do good, evil is present with me. All those things. Then he comes into Romans 8 and teach true justification. There's no condemnation to another in Christ. Then he comes into the manifestation of the sons of God, all these things. Then he goes into Romans 9, into election and all these things. The sovereignty of God. Who are not replies against God? Amen? Then over into Romans 10, where he comes in. And begin to show how Israel had to be blinded. Romans 11, how there's a remnant upon the election of grace. Romans 12, then he comes and shows me transformed this world, this cosmos. Wait, because he knew where civilization come from Cain back there. But he transformed by the renewing of your mind. Begin to see about gifts in the body and all these things. Every man, God dealt a measure quantity, dealt every man according to a measure of faith. In the book of Romans alone, to see the things that he was teaching, that great prophet messenger of the first age. Great eagle that was caught up into the third heaven saw things not even lawful to speak. Amen. Then some little old denominational Bible school, just some woman in the pulpit with paint face and bob hair want to challenge Paul's authority. But is she insane? Need to be fed to the dogs again like Jezebel. Amen. You don't want a man caught up in the third heaven. A man's an angel come to heaven, Peter, anything different life, Peter, be a curse. And some little old woman point to some pants or something well painted up there, stand up there and denying the authority of an apostle. Brother, I tell you, no wonder they send this Lazarus to be heady and high-minded. Exactly right. See, we thank God for a simple, humble heart when God can show you, amen, the hour that you are living in, when God can let you know the faith of the fathers is living still. Only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And God sent a prophet to bring us out of all man-made traditions back to the original apostolic faith. Amen. Bring us back to walk where the apostles have trod.
to believe like they believe, amen, to baptize you with the baptism, teach what they taught. Fearlessly stand on the word of God in this generation. When all denominations being pushed together to take the mark of the beast, there'll be a little elected standing on the outside with the power of Jesus Christ getting ready to be raptured into glory. Amen. Because God have come down and opened up these seven seals to bring us back to the truth of the Bible. Amen. The truth of the Bible. Now look, here Paul is speaking. And so we know. We're not assuming this. We're not presuming this. We're not maybe just have some thoughts to be thinking about this. He said, we know. Who we? Not John Public. Can't be the nomination either because they don't believe in election and predestination and all these things. Who is that we? We who have seen the Lord. We who have met the pillar of fire. Who wrote the New Testament? Paul! Sure did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John only recording Jesus like a newspaper reporter. And Jesus was in Galilee, and Jesus was in Galilee, and Jesus went to Lazarus' house, and then Jesus went by the sea, and then Jesus tells Peter, throw in the right hand, and then Jesus said, say, do this over here. And then Jesus baked the bread, and Jesus do this, and Jesus casts a demon over here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Paul began to separate the law from grace. Paul began to say, that age is finished. Since the Son of Man is revealed. Amen. Since the seed has come. 430 years after, it never annulled the promise. The original covenant God made with Abraham. And if you depend on the law for justification, he says you're wrong. Sure, Paul began to get down inside it. Began to set the Lord's Supper in order, all these things. Why? He had met the pillar of fire. The same pillar of fire Moses met. The I am that I am. And the I am that I am say, I am Jesus. Moses asked the pillar of fire your name. He said, you can't know my name. I am that I am. Go and tell them that. But when Paul met the pillar of fire, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory! Paul said, I confront with flesh and blood. Didn't want to Peter, we want to hear, we want to, they didn't ask me. I confront with flesh and blood. But for 3 years, I went out in Arabia. Still out there, amen. Brother, he took the Old Testament to see that it's true. When he finished writing, he said, Moses bear the reproach of Christ. Where did Moses see Christ? Because Christ is the same pillar of fire. Amen! Christ is the same angel in the wilderness, that pillar of fire. He said, Moses bear the reproach of Christ. Because he met the same pillar of fire Moses met. Amen. See where, you see where Paul got his authority from? So when he came, no one when he came, he said, did the word come out from you or to you? Amen. When he had a woman who wanted to preach in the church and who wanted to cut the hair and these things, he said, what? He said, when the angel come around there. Amen. And the thing is some heavenly angel. But you read the Bible close in the same Corinthians. He said, we have this brother here, this brother here, and this brother here. Angels. Titus and different ones. He said, angels of the church and the glory of Christ. Angels. I'm an angel to this church tonight. Sure. But the pastor is the angel to the church. Amen. He's a messenger to bring the word to the people. Not being a creed, reflect light from the throne. Amen. Because the entrance of thy word giveth light. And when the word has an entrance to the people, then they have a light to walk in a dark hour. We have a more sure word of prophecy as to unto which we do take heed as a light that shine in a dark place. That prophetic word unfolding the program of God for the age is light to walk out to Laodicea. Amen. To walk in and the path of the just shine unto a perfect day. Amen. Yes, sir. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, all things are possible and all things become new. Amen. New bright, new shining millennium day. Amen. New body, everything. Glory. See, that's what we're walking into. That's what the prophetic word has unfolded unto us. And that's where our faith is anchored tonight, knowing that his promises are yea and amen. It was promised in the Bible. It was written by the prophets. Is being vindicated in its season now by the Holy Spirit, who remember he planted a seed for that time. 712 years before, God says, their voice and crying in the wilderness. Man went on, forget that, do what it was. But in a little home, an angel had appeared. A woman was getting ready to have a baby. She was told she's going to have a baby, though she's past childbearing. The husband had already got a visitation while he was in the temple.
He disbelieved the word of the angel Gabriel, man sent from God. Amen. Glory. Angel strike him dumb for his unbelief. Sure. See, strike him dumb for his unbelief. See, and Abraham says, there are ministers in the pulpit. He said, God will strike you dumb too. When you have unbelief in your heart for the word that the angel has brought, you have nothing to see. Your God don't want no unbelief in the congregation. Amen. Sure, right. You see, when it's in the manifestation, the tongue will be loose in its season. Amen. But we seal away our unbelief for a season. Amen. Let God bring the past zone without any man's ideas. Amen. My. You see. And so God does things. He says, so we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose, and he is calling according to that purpose. I say, if I call you tonight, I say, Brother Rose, come. You hear his name, call. So he said, Brother Vin, what you call me for? I said, I'd like to get a glass of water, brother. Go and see, bring a glass of water for me. When I call him, then he hears him call and responds to the call, and he gets a revelation of the purpose why he's called. He now has a vision of the purpose he's called for, so he can go forth under expectation to fulfill that purpose. He can now be persistent because the will of God is revealed to him. If anybody tried to say, Barros, I hate my little circus down the road, but look, he said, look, shoo. Amen. Because why? He has a vision of the purpose he's called for. Nobody going to interfere with the line of duty. He's under the effects of the commission revealed in the calling. Let me show it in the Bible. Let me get a little type and show it in the Bible. Here was a prophet coming to the scene in the book of King Samuel. Samuel the prophet. How many know Samuel is a prophet? Here came a prophet on the scene. Prophet of the age, Samuel. You know his life in the Bible. Grew up since he's a little boy in the temple there, sitting down there, and the Holy Spirit began to reveal himself to him, make him rebuke Eli. Eli represents the priest, the denominational age. Amen. The eyes was growing dim, blind, coming into Laodicea, blind. And all his children was living in sin, the flesh pots. And little Samuel there, he had no open vision yet in the land. See? And the Bible said the lamp of the temple went out. Yeah, the lamp went out. See? But here was one going to come get the word direct from God now. God was going to call him and speak to him and put the word in his mouth. And then when Samuel received the word in that age, he had to come and rebuke the church. The first one was Eli. Now he had a rebuke right there. Had to rebuke him. And then we found when Samuel went forth, he was established to be a prophet from Dan to Beersheba. All Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet. And then, you know how Israel was going along, was different to all the nations, a peculiar people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. God told him in Deuteronomy, Moses, God bring you out to Egypt for a purpose, a peculiar people for his own namesake. But what happened afterwards? Then they wanted to pattern themselves after the nations, like many people want to pattern themselves after the denominations. Sure. As Israel been called out under a prophet message. See? And then when they said, well, look, we want a king. We want. But God was the king. And God had his prophet as his mouthpiece, bringing the word for them. And the Holy Ghost, the pillar of fire, was to lead them. But they wanted to pattern themselves after the world, which was not the example. Amen. So then what happens? Then they still wanted the king. They persisted. We want it that way. And Samuel, you know, began to say, what? I ever beg you for money? I ever do this? I ever do that to you? I ever preach error? Every time I ever say that God never vindicated? He says, yeah, we know you from God, but we still want a king. Brother, I tell people to get in that condition sometimes. And then what happened? After they come in that condition, then God says, Samuel, it's not you to reject, it's me to reject. They don't want me to be the head. They want man to be the head. Want a bishop and a superintendent. See? So then what happened? He said, give it to them. So then God's going to give him a king. Samuel said, you're going to get one. They're going to make your children work hard. They're going to make this happen here. You will take them out of war, all kind of different things. And then they get a sword,
head and shoulders.
Yeah, praise God, hallelujah. You know what the big denominational spirits is be? Man of God of the hour, you know, some kind of thing like that, you know, sons of Kish. So then when Saul came forth, what happened? Then the first thing, spirit of popularity. See, head and shoulders. The prophet told him, he says, okay, God going to smite Amalek, because when Israel was coming through that time, they treat Israel a certain way, and now it's time for divine retribution. And we pour it upon them. He says, go and you'll be the instrument that will bring God judgment. Go and smite, utterly destroy everything. Brother, you went down there, and the people started taking the spoils. And the big collection, now the collection, the spoils. The money and the fat sheep and this here. And they don't want to kill that. Because prosperity. See that spirit right there. And then they wanted, and then they started pressure Saul and pressure him. And then he says, okay, all right, you can have that. And because he wanted to be the people's man. He didn't want to rebuke the people and say, no, the prophet said so. Tell us what the prophet says. No, he wanted to be the people's man. So give them this way and give them that way and give them this way and give them this way and give them that way. And then you know what was happening? Then it came to the place when God come down there. God showed Samuel exactly what's happening. He said, Samuel, he said, Saul and fulfill the word. Saul and obey the word. He said, you go down there and meet him. Samuel, come. He said, what is that hearing in the ears? Hearing like sheep bleating somewhere. Then the prophet just talk. Talk in a strange way, you know. He said, what's all this bleating I hear in the ears? Something is sounding right. He said, you have disobeyed the word of the Lord. He said, no, I obey the word. I do exactly what God says. Remember my message, surely the bitterness of death is not yet past. Sure, all right. And he begins to argue with the prophet now. He's the people's man. He has support. So when he came there, then the prophet began to tell him, no, he says, look, he says, all these fat sheep, all the different things here. And you didn't do something, God tell you. And here comes Agag, the king himself, King Agag. And King Agag walk up there, here in the company of Saul. And for the time that prophet met, you see fire in the prophet's eyes. That's the first one should have got killed. And from the time Agag see Samuel, he's trying to be friendly too, but you can't influence him. He may influence Saul, but not him. But he watch Agag like that, and he's looking for a sword by the time. Why are you talking looking for a sword? Amen. But he chopped Agag to pieces, and he told Saul, he said, God have rejected you. He said, stubbornness and rebellion is like witchcraft and idolatry. Amen. And God wanted obedience and sacrifice. Sure. He said, in other words, that's a compromise. You can't kill all the flesh. You spare some flesh because you don't want to carry out the prophet's word to the letter. You have to let a little flesh remain here, a little flesh remain here, for popularity's sake, so the people will feel all right. See that? And then when that happened right there, God turned on, and as Samuel going to walk away, Saul, you know, trying to hold on to him, and he pulled him and he tears his kid, and he says, so God have rent the kingdom from you and give it to your neighbor David, a better man than you. See? And then when that happened, David was chosen. I didn't even know he was chosen. Now watch the mystery election here. This is what I'm bringing to show you. God is telling Samuel, he said, David is chosen. I have chosen that man after my own heart. David didn't even call yet, but he's already chosen. Then the time come, God, then Samuel there weeping. Samuel's a real loving man, you know. So they're weeping. You know the story how Saul had went up there to offer the sacrifice and he couldn't even wait. Samuel was in time. And he's supposed to wait on Samuel. But he invaded the priest's office and tried to start. And Samuel said, so what's the matter? You're not supposed to be in that office there. You should have waited until I come. And then when the time came, watch. Now God is still the same God today, you know. Ain't changed one iota. Because he's the unchangeable God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, when God told him, he said, stop weeping for Saul. Go up, fill your horn with oil and go to the house of Jesse. I have chosen me a king. Go and anoint one of Jesse and I will tell you which one it is. And here he went up there and the prophet with the horn of oil. But he walked up there. And here come and Jesse, and he tells Jesse the purpose why he come. And the first thing Jesse says, sure. He said, I have the boy right here, man. But Jesse thinks, well, this Saul is the first thing. He's this tall. Then the next one is the same kind. That God choose that. You see, God is watching the line of the word. Saul was from Benjamin, but David was from Judah. Saul was called when he was seeking his father's trained asses. But David was called when he's watching his father's sheep. Saul is anointed with a vial of oil, but David is anointed with a horn of oil. Sure, right. Check it in the Bible and see. Amen. Then when he came there, and he says, here he is, and he said, Eliab, I think it was the first one. And Eliab come out there. Well, a big four square Pentecostal Assemblies of God or something. The prophet looked at him, he said, God look on the outward appearance. God look at the heart. God is the all when the heart is being turned back to the feet of the Father. The heart feet deal with now. Third pull. Not flesh and spirit, down the soul in the engine room. then the next one comes, you bring Abinadab. And Abinadab come up. Revival time assemblies or something. Big! Prophet says that God reject that one too. Next one come up. Shammah. You have a good name. Mean the Lord is present. Jehovah Shammah, you see? God reject that too. All of them God reject. The seven. Seven of them. See? But then, the prophet knew he led by God. He said, something wrong. He said, you have no more children? Yeah, we are one, but just thinking shepherd. All this smell like the sheep and laughing like the sheep, talking like the sheep. Out in the back, in the woods, with a few sheep in the back there. He said, go and call him and bring him. Now what? We're talking about call according to God's purpose. He was chosen already. God had told the prophet, I have chosen your king. He was elected, but now he had to be called. He was elected laying there waiting for his season to be called by the prophet message. Hallelujah! God's sovereign will and purpose was going to unfold on. After the Pentecostal age was rejected, then in the eighth day, the morrow after the Sabbath, amen. Here God is moving on the scene of calling. We're going to reveal election. Amen. The chosen one after his own heart. According to the line of his word, coming from Judah, where the line of Judah, where Shiloh is going to come from. The scepter will not depart out of Judah. All the Bethlehem will come for the governor. All these things in type. Now God is moving in the scene of his word. And then when David was called, now his call. And but he came to call under a prophet's message. And then, as the historian Josephus says, he says, when Samuel stood there with the horn of oil and he's anointing him in the midst of his brethren, the prophet whispered in his ear and revealed him the purpose why he was called. He was chosen to be king over Israel. God had found the character. He was being trained by being a shepherd watching over the sheep, because God likened his people to sheep. And he was going to lead God's people, and from the sheep court, he was going to be placed in the throne one day. He was chosen and predestinated unto the kingship of Israel. Amen. God foreknew him. Amen. And those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. And those he predestinated, he did call according to his purpose. And David now had a revelation of the purpose why he was called. He knew he was chosen to be king. And then here he was. Still watching the sheep, but God had an appointed time for the kingship. And the prophet anointed him. So he was elected, he was called, he was anointed, and his placing in life, in the economy of God, was being revealed unto him, giving him a vision of what his purpose in life, what he was born for, why he was sent into the earth in that age, why he born in that family, why in his very environment he was learning to take care of sheep. It was all making sense to him now. It was all becoming alive to him now. He saw that the training in his life. He saw the environment that God placed him in. He saw his vocation unto which he's called. That he could abide in these things. And here while he was there, in that very hour. Still waiting for God's time and God's season for the complete fulfillment of all that God revealed concerning him through the prophet. Because the prophet knew the full mystery of his life and where he's going to come to. How many remember when Samuel had died and Samuel went on? Is that right? Samuel went on to his eternal reward and he was there in paradise waiting for the lamb to be slain to come and take them from paradise into that other dimension where they're going to be in the presence of God. And Saul had come to the end, because though Saul was rejected, God didn't remove him off the scene yet right away. He stayed there, but he began to go downward. From that day was the turning point in Saul's life, when he rejected the prophet's word. He went along being king still. He fought one or two battles and win. And it looked like Samuel said that, but God loved me more than the prophet say. That's a mistake. God didn't love you no more than the prophet say. What the prophet says, God taught. Amen! Hallelujah! And here it was. Finally, he can't get a dream self. He can't get a revelation self. He can't get an inspiration self. Dry and empty. And he, who in one season burn out almost every witch out of the place, break down every false altar. Now we're looking for a witch. Now we're looking for a false altar. Now we're looking for a seer man. Now we're looking for something else. Now you're trying to read the horoscope. Now you're trying to find something over here. Sure! No more inspiration! Now you're trying to pull from all sides to get a little something. So finally, through the grapevine here, it have a woman down in Endo. And she have a little gift. And she could maybe tell people the future. Or she could reveal the will of God or something. And you say, well, she all together in the faith, you know. But you go to she still. Little woman preacher down there, you know, and she kind of gifted. Brother, he went down there. Disguise himself, go with a few footmen, you know the footmen, the army, so he went down the end, looked like an ordinary man, you know, so he says, we can't talk on his nose or something, you know, he tried to disguise himself, he says he could bring up Samuel for me, trying to get a hold of the prophet again, but when Samuel came up the air, I see a man come. He said, describe him. He said, Tim, you have a mantle. God. That is Samuel. And then Samuel came up there. He said, why have you disturbed me? He said, remember that day? And Samuel pointed him right back to the very day, the very place. That was years after. That when Saul was still full of fire and burden, you know, big ministry and different things. He said, that day up there, when you reject the word of the Lord, and you didn't kill all the flesh, and you compromised that time. He said, and God had, and he quoted back the same word. He said, and God had tear the kingdom from you and give it to your neighbor. And here he had fight, and he run along David and tried to kill David and tried to assassinate David and tried to make a plan for David. And all kinds of things he tried to kill that. But all Israel knew that Samuel was a prophet. And when Samuel spoke that word, Saul could do what he wants. You can't fight against the counsel of God. As Paul says, you can't do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Amen. You're kicking against the pricks. Is it vindicated with the pillar of fire? Vindicated his message in this hour. Angels come from eternity. You can't fight against his word. You can't compromise with his word. The best thing to do is humble yourself and say, Lord, give me the courage to believe all of it and walk in all of it. Amen. But right there, he says, and furthermore, you'll be with me here tomorrow, you and your sons. Because you're going to go down to the battle and you're going to fall. And brother, I'll show you, still a prophet. Still had the word of the Lord. Still had the mind of God to reveal to that backslidden king. Next day they went in the battle. You know what happened? You know the story, how it happened. But look at David, you know. Just at that time, he come now. And God just moved upon the hearts of the rest of Israel. God, Judah and Israel, so they were divided. And then they all come together because they know that David was the king. King David. David being beloved. King David. Sure, those who were accepted in the beloved was a type of Christ coming into his kingdom now. He was a fugitive all them years. Hallelujah! He was a fugitive, though he was anointed by the prophet, though he was the one predestined to that very place. And from the sheep court that day when he was called, and in his calling, he understood he was chosen. When the message of the prophet was sounded, he saw how God was thinking about him through the prophet's message. That's the only way you can know in this hour the thoughts God thinking about you is through the voice of the seventh angel. All those things types in the Bible. I mean, you could take one after the other to show and prove what this message really is. But I'm dealing with election and calling. You see? And placing. Just like Joseph. Look at Joseph. Was the same way. How Joseph was the end. He didn't even know. He was just trying to be a normal boy. But he born with the gifts. He can't help dream dreams. He can't help breaking that realm. And then the brothers, they started calling a contention because he's seeing things. See? But he didn't make himself that way. God designed him that way. And then God is the one bringing down those things in that channel, and he couldn't help seeing it. When he saw it and he spoke it, it had been a cause of religious disturbance. But what he was seeing was God's predestined will. For him to see he's sitting on a throne and the brothers bowing to him, it had to be foreknowledge. It was God foreknowledge. And he was predestinated to that place. He was chosen to fulfill that position. So when Paul and them is writing in the New Testament, that was in the Old Testament, you don't see the word predestinate and you don't see the word foreknowledge and all them different things. But in the New Testament, when they're teaching, they look back in the scriptures. Like God can tell Abraham, I'll bring him with a mighty hand. They'll be going there for 400 years. No, that's foreknowledge. God knows what's going to happen in 400 years' time. God knows a proper child will be born. He's the one I'm going to use to bring them out. He dies in mighty hand. He'll bring them right back to this very place, this land here again. Amen. And then God said, I will judge Egypt. So as mighty as Egypt could get, God already spoke the judgment 400 years. He said, the people that entreat them evil will I judge. And in that time, he said, the iniquity of the Amalekites will be full by that time. And so when they come in, they will destroy them inside here too and take over the land that I will give unto them. Sure. So all them nations are marked out for destruction already, and Israel is marked out to be lifted up and placed in that position. That's foreknowledge. And Israel is predestined to that place. Here, the people in bondage. Look like they're in bondage in the world. But God say, you will be in that land down there. That land will be yours from the Lebanon to the Euphrates to the ground, shall be yours. And because they're predestined, that's why they can go back in that land in this hour and butter all the world against them. Small little nation. And nobody can make them give up them boundaries. Hallelujah. Stand here in the midst of over 150 million Arabs, a little 3 million nation. And don't be intimidated by the whole world and the whole United Nations. Stand there and look in the Bible and to the bunker. Joshua, give us that land. Amen. Amen. That belongs to us. Amen. Why? They found the calling. They find the place. They know that they are chosen by God. You see the kind of faith that a revelation is bring when you know your place. That's why David could have gone down the lion and the bear come. He said, wait, now I ain't king yet, and that prophet will can't fail. So he went after the lion, killed the lion. Went after the bear and killed the bear. And when he saw the lion, he said, well, God will do the same thing to him like he did the lion and the bear. Amen. God, I have to be king. I can't die. If I die, God will raise me up to make me king. Amen. When God told Moses, you'll bring them back here on this mountain, no red sea could stop them. When Joseph told him, you'll take my bones in the promised land, no red sea could stop them. Hallelujah! No wonder God rebuked Moses. Shake yourself, amen. Pinch your conscience, Moses. Why Christ speak and go forward? Didn't I tell you I'll bring them back on this mountain? Amen. Look at Paul. When God tell Paul, you'll bear witness of me in Rome. Amen. No viper could kill me. Shake it in the fire. Amen. God already said I'll be in Rome. I ain't reached there yet. I have to be there. No gate could stand before me. When it's revealed to you, your placing, your calling, your election. That's why I see it of a false faith. Faith is be based on the word. Faith is when you recognize your position. So you see, Pentecostal faith is in Jesus' name, a big sort of excitement. Faith is finds resting place in the word. Faith of a channel to operate through. Bible faith. Know where you're standing, all of heaven is behind you. Amen. You know your position in that word. Nothing the devil can bring condemnation, because the Bible says, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Sure. You stand there perfectly justified. You know God, you see yourself the way God is seeing you. God give you revelation to let you see yourself the way he's seeing you. And the way he's seeing you, when he shows you, it opens up the mystery of election and predestination. You have not chosen me, Jesus. I have chosen you. That is election. Because elect means to choose. He chose you. Chosen Christ before the foundation of the world. Amen. Now watch. Look here a little bit. Just a minute. Oh, we have lots of time. Want to go back over this a little bit? Bring something here. Ephesians, Paul, Joshua, page 8. Ephesus sets us like Joshua positionally. You notice? Joshua, after crossing the land, taking the land, then he divided the land. Ephraim here, Manasseh here, this one here, Gad here, Benjamin, he divided the land. Joshua took them 12 tribes over, stand there, waiting with a bunch of people behind him, knowing his commission. Then God come down, open up the Jordan, went over flooding his banks in the harvest time, and the grain was formed again, then take them over into the inheritance, and then they begin to fight. And then he begins to reveal to them, he says, now from the Lebanon, to the Euphrates, to the Gunnery Sun, shall be your coast. That's your boundaries. Anything within there, you are anointed by God, and God is on your side to wipe it out. Don't fear nothing within their boundaries. Anything in their boundaries, you have backing from God to wipe them out. So don't try to fight nothing outside of that, because you ain't got God help. You'll be going in your flesh. And the first thing he did, he been to specify what belongs to them. Mark 16 is yours. John 14, 12 is yours. St. Mark 11, 23 is yours. Hebrews 13 is yours. Hebrews 4, 12 is yours. Amen. My, being the late hour, that belongs to the bride in this hour. He said, don't let nobody back you off of that. He said, notice this just burn our hearts. Each one of those Hebrew mothers, giving birth to those children, she spoke the very place in her labor pain, where they will be positioned in the promised land. See that? In the birth, when they were being born, when their mothers, they had received the seed, when the seed dropped from the loins of the father into the bedding ground of the mother, and then it was time now for it to become flesh. You know what I'm saying? Be born. Then the mother was in groaning in the bringing forth of the expression of that seed that come from the loins of Jacob. And Jacob represent grace. And the loins of grace was 12 sons. See, 12 attributes that was to be expressed in flesh. And God had divine purpose to them, because they was going to become the nation of Israel. And Israel is God's chosen people. That's the economy of God. And they was the natural to a type of the spiritual that was going to come on afterwards. You know what I'm saying? And from Reuben to Benjamin was them 12 signs in the zodiac. Was them 12 birthstones in the breastplate. Because Jesus is from the jasper to the sardine stone. He is Reuben to Benjamin. So then he is from Virgo to Leo. He's the principal team of the entire Bible. See? So then here it was now. It was a mystery of God that he had in his mind already written in heaven, but being expressed forth now. Amen. And there was to reveal Christ. So here, because when they begin to camp, each one of them divided up. You had the lion, you had the ox, you had the man, you had the eagle. See, in the economy of God. And
And that was your four fixed signs. Then, now watch, that showed where the heaven was divided in four sections up there. See, revealing Christ. Now watch. So they, just like us now, we come from the loins of grace too. Sovereign grace. He was thinking about us, that's why we're here. To be expressed in a season. Now all 12 didn't born at the same time. Each one come in the season. Each one come in the birth path. Each one born under a sign. Each one come as an expression of part of the word. Amen. Remember them 12 angels. Them was 12 angels. You go back in the Revelation 21 in the new city, they say there was 12 angels standing in 12 gates. And them 12 gate, 3 was on each side. And there were 4 sides. And that temple back there, that new city back there, it was built like how the Old Testament cities used to be and how Israel used to camp. So watch. And then that 12 gates and that wall was on 12 foundations, and then 12 foundations was come back to the 12 stones that was back in the breastplate of the high priest. Okay, and then the high priest wear that breastplate with them 12 stones when he's going to intercede in the most holy place. Who was he interceding for? Israel. Them 12 stones. But where was it? Over his heart. Showing that when Christ went into the holy place, all them names, because the names would be written and engraved on the stones. And he had the names of the bride in his heart. In the most holy place, interceding. And every one of them stone was a different stone. And every one of them stone had a different position in the breastplate. And every one of them stone had their own glory. Sure. You see, so then watch, but here it was now in infancy of the revelation unfolding. Then each one of the Hebrew mothers, in giving birth, she spoke the place in her labor pain where they would be positioned in the promised land. And this is a great study. If you could go into it in details, which will take hours after hours. Someday when we get our church fixed, I'd just like to come and take a solid month or two just to write it. Watch when they, each one of those mothers, when she called out Ephraim. When she was in her labor, positionally placing where his feet were setting in oil. But you know what, from his ash, if you check in the Bible, just, you know, he would just bring the thought. Just exactly each one of them where they were at. And Joshua, not knowing this, by inspiration, led of the Holy Spirit, after being in the promised land, give each man his promise exactly where the Holy Spirit promised to their birth back there. And this hour, when under the Joshua Commission in the Ephesians, when God is bringing his church again at the end of the journey, who have been called from the Exodus, placing them in position again in the body of Christ, each one of them is taking the place in relation to their birth. Because when Joshua placed them here, they were born hundreds of years before. Because now it's 12 tribes of the 12 sons. That's why they call me the children of Israel, because Israel, which is Jacob became Israel, had 12 sons. And then out of the 12 sons came the 12 tribes. Amen. And then Joshua was placing them now where the mother in birth was groaning, naming them. See, because the name had a meaning. And the mothers, we'll go back to it one of these days, before we finish the series. In Genesis 29 and 30, you would see the experiences they was going through. Remember Leah was bringing forth children, 1, 2, 3, and then Rachel, you know, she couldn't get any, and it had a conflict, and then when she prevailed by finally breakthrough and her handmaid brought a child, then what did she say? I have prevailed, so I called it a Naphtali or something like that, didn't she? Because it was expression of the experience that she was going through at the time. The naming those children, see? But those children had a place in life that was going to unfold and be revealed. And even the mothers at that time couldn't have understood all what God had in mind for each one of them. Not even Jacob had known at one time, fully. At the end of Jacob's earthly journey, he began to bless them. But when Moses came, Moses unfolded something a little further. He put them to camp, one this way, and one this way, and one this way, and one of the lion, and one of the ox, and one of the man, and one of the eagle. Right? Because he saw the heavenly vision. Then, when they went over in the land, then Joshua now began to set them in Canaan land. But
But I want you to notice what the mother was groaning had to do something with the place in Canaan land. But Canaan land is what? The Holy Ghost. And if you are elect of God, you are placed in the Holy Ghost in Christ. That you're born in this earth for. To manifest part of you. Unto this end where you're born for this cause you came into the world. With a calling in your life. Give some call of repentance. With a ministry to fulfill. That you have to fulfill in this life. Amen. So then look. Then when Jacob blessed them, he was blessing them where they would be in the land also. He was blessing them. There was in Egypt and he was blessing them. But he was blessing them where they would be placed in that land in the last days. Had to do with the placing of the Holy Ghost again. When Moses blessed them, had to do also with the placing of the Holy Spirit. Canaan land. But that is where they was heading. That is where the journey was taking them. From Egypt to Canaan. Where your journey taking you. Amen. From earth to glory. Sure. Born in this earth in bondage to the beggarly elements. Born in sin, shame, iniquity. Is that right? But those same people when they crossed Jordan was now in heavenly places in Canaan land. All things was under their feet, every place their foot tread. God had given unto them. Same people had been whipped with taskmaster whips in Egypt. Now had their foot in the neck of all them kings in Canaan land. Shine when they come into their position. In the place in their life. After they've been justified through the Red Sea. Water baptism, sanctified through the wilderness. Coming into the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the life of where they're now realizing what their mother was groaning. Hallelujah! What God was showing back down to the Bible, amen, is now being gathered up in the bride in the last days. She's the full mystery of what God had in the back part of his mind. So look, so when each one of those mothers, when she called Ephraim, Joshua not knowing how he led by the inspiration, led by the Holy Spirit, after being in the promised land, give each man his promise exactly where the Holy Spirit promised to their birth. Oh, how God has set some in the church through their labor pains. Oh, that they get tremendous sometimes. When the church is groaning under the persecution of the outside world, believing in the Lord Jesus, that the promise of the Holy Ghost is just as real to us as it was to Pentecost. How they are groaning, crying, the labor pain. How when they are born and positionally born into the kingdom of God, then the Holy Ghost set in the church some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. Then he gives them into their speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, knowledge, wisdom, gifts of healing, all kind of miracles. Where the church is now, this is my purpose of doing this. The church is always trying to take somebody else's corner, but don't do that. Because each man was getting the portion. In other words, when Joshua, the Holy Spirit, come to the lines, was going to fall on the inheritance in goodly places to reveal to them the path of life. Joshua saying, Dan, your lines fall this way. Down to this valley here, up to that mountain there, over to the border of over here. Down to that last rock out there. That's where yours. You say, Ephraim, your lines fall here. So, and you lay it out for them. And the same as you're thinking from the lines of God's word. Always in this thinking, falling in your life. What determines you to be? You can't make yourself 6 feet if you're 5 feet four. You can't make your eyes blue as the brown. Amen. Hallelujah. You have no choice in being a male or female. You have no choice in being born in what age you want to be born in. You might say, I wish I was in Noah's age. I wish I was in Jesus to walk there. You know, I wish I was living more in the prophet time or something. No, you have no choice in that. God determined. What family you're going to be born in? What country you're going to be born in? What age you're going to be born in? What sex you will be? Amen. God determined those things. Designated for a purpose. You come in your decreed, designated season, an attribute of God being expressed in flesh. God bringing your father and mother together. Father had a sperm and your mother had an egg. And then God taught that soul. But your mother and father could only produce a body. They couldn't produce a soul. Amen. This body is formed by your father and mother coming together. But the soul in you, that real you, that come from God. God expressed that soul in that body. When that body been formed in your mother's womb for 9 months, and she gave birth to it, then that angel being coming to that body there, then you become a living soul. Amen. Inside there, laying representation. But God have a day, have a purpose, have a place, have an experience, have a situation that he's going to bring you all up from the cradle right to that very spot. Hallelujah! Like he brought Moses from down to that Nile up to Pharaoh's house, trying in human efforts to deliver the people right until God brought him to the mountain on the back side of the desert that day. Hallelujah! And I am come down now, Moses. Had Paul separated from the mother's womb, go to college, go through all these things, sit at the feet of Gamaliel, come up in the hierarchy, amen, of Israel there, going to persecute the church until he brought him to the exact spot in the road of Damascus. Having to ride the exact horse, having to fall right down the dust, having to go through that very experience. Had the man laying the Ananias to come in, amen. Pray for him and let his eyes become open and baptize him and set him in his course, amen. Mine is the same way God work yours. Amen. Bring you down to the very spot, amen. He might even bring you to the very place tonight by the Holy Spirit, amen. In a very service, in a very position in life where God comes right down inside of you and deals with you and break the chains around your life, sets you in your course, amen. Fall in your rightful place in the economy of God. Then you have a vision, you have expectation, you have heard your name call. You begin to recognize God's purpose of calling you. It means you're chosen. That's why he's calling you in this hour, amen. To take your place. Amen. Moving your right up inside of the air. So God is doing it. Bringing each one to the place that they could stand in this hour. Amen. But when they had to cut them stones, they had to engrave them name on them stones there. They had to fit them in that socket right inside there on the high priest. Bosom there, hallelujah, to go into the great Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory reflecting off of them lights there, and the high priest with that blood of the Lamb, glory be to God, amen, hallelujah, standing before the mercy seat where them cherubim tip their wings and the Shekinah glory hanging there, and they have all them names, only Israel names is there, not Egyptian names and this names and Babylon names and all, no, sir, on the breastplate of the high priest, amen, it was them he was interceding for. Them names in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Why? Because the mother and child both way back there. Hallelujah. God had ordained an experience to bring them through there. My. See? So he said, notice here. When the church, he says, they try all the time to somebody corner. You can never raise cock in Ephraim's corner. If you're in Manasseh, you've got to take your place in Christ. Position ticket. Oh, it gets deep and rich when we get in here. How did God put one in the church to speak with tongues? Now we've been taught many times we all have to speak with tongues. That's wrong. We know that Paul said us all speak in tongues. Us all, are all prophets, are all apostles. Amen. See? But we know what the Bible, when the Bible comes and the great mystery of Christ begins to unfold, we see how far man's ideas are from the truth. We see all the make-believe can come alongside God's revealed word. Amen. That's wrong. We all got to do this. No, we don't. But you have so much fingers in your hands. You have so much eyes in your body. You have so much toes on your feet. You have so much hair on your head. Jesus, every one of them is numbered. Is that right? You have so much eyelash in that eye. But you might want to be eye, but you might be an eyelash to protect the eye. Amen. Let the eye be deceived. You have to be the protection of the eye. Glory! Amen. Sure right. Yes, then you have parts that are hidden. Parts unseen. Amen. Not visible to the public. But their places are important in integral parts in the function of the body. All right. Amen. So he says, you've got to take your place. Amen. So each line was provided and divided by inspiration. Each one I could take his picture and show to you exactly, amen, that he put them in the place where they're supposed to be positionally, how the 2.5 tribes to stay across the river, how their mothers cried from their birth, and how that each place was supposed to be. He said, I could take the scripture and show it to you exactly. How did he put them in place that they were supposed to be positionally? How did the 2.5 captains step across the river? How did their mother cry that in their birth? And how that each place was supposed to be? Amen. Positionally placed in the church, page 26. Where they belong, each one. How we are called by the adoption. God has adopted us unto the sons. We are sons by birth, adopted and positionally placed by the Holy Spirit. Look, there were everyone Hebrews when they crossed the river. But Joshua divided the land, gave each one his land according to the utterance of his mother at the birth where the Holy Spirit told her. Amen. And look at Jacob when he was dying, a prophet blind, he pulled his feet up in his bed and said, come forth, you sons of Jacob, and I'll tell you where you'll be in the last day. That's Genesis 49. Oh, I know it. I may seem strange. The people may seem strange. But if you only knew the assurance and the burning in the heart, come forth and I'll tell you where you'll be in the last day. And I can take the same scripture. I can take the same scripture and take the map of where the Jews are settling today and prove to you they are exactly on the same spot that Jacob said they'd be in the last days. And they never did, haven't been on that spot until they returned since May the 7th, 1946, the night the angel of the Lord appeared to me up there and said for this mission. And I can show you that when they come back in the new land, they struck exactly the same spot where Jacob said they'd be sitting. And there they are sitting there today. Oh my, we are wandering near a home. Israel was rushing all nations back to Palestine, amen, under them two world wars, political disturbance, for religious disturbance, amen, but rush the bride from all denominations back to the promised world, back to the land of our fathers, our apostolic fathers, where they will rush back to the land of the patriarch fathers, amen, hallelujah. And then here when Moses and Elijah is going to put that up, you're going to whip them up. You're going to recognize Asher, you pray for the oil. You're going to put the oil in the ground. Asher, that is you right here. Zebulun! You're going to do all this business, transport, to manage all these things, profit, bring them in, right here. I'm going to put glory. You can look everywhere you're here. You're going to scatter and all these things, you're going to rack up here. Amen. This is you over here, going to the corner over here. But, you know, you know the Jews, and you know they've been rushed out of all this back to the homeland. So, you see the bride of the world, back to the first world. And the bride of these places of the fire, they have to be reconnected. So, they are many to the church, so they are many to the back here. So many come out from the same country of the world back to the homeland. So many come from the nation back to the village. They're the only people that are left to hit the call of. We shall invite you for that. At midnight, 10 and 12. Amen. The five were supposed to go in. Hallelujah! And five went to the tribulation period. Amen. All right. Why is the green bird one of the oil? The other one not the oil. Why is it here? Which is going to wake up all the elected ones. They're going to move the elected ones into their place. They're going to recognize that very position of the Holy Spirit, dividing up the land in the last days, placing them out. And they're going to take the position. Everyone is going to move into their place. Everyone is going to stand for the God's ground. Amen. Serve God, get hold of you.